balls are going to be ripped off.
I want to say, you know why he has 11 fingers? And I'd rip one of his off because I took one of your 10. That's why, motherfucker.
There you go.
The movies. Did you love the search for the perfect rental on a Friday night? Have you enjoyed the new version of this, searching through countless streaming services for the perfect movie? I know we do. Welcome to Mike and Anthony Soda Pop Culture Club. Me, Mike, along with my co-host Anthony.
I don't mind you shooting at me, Frank, but take it easy on the Bacardi.
Bring our take on a classic movie every Monday from the 80s, 90s, and beyond, during which we will play the game and open up a six-pack of favorite scenes. We also point out a couple of generic scenes as well. And at the end of the show, we'll rate the movies 1 to 24 cans. One can is being in a flaming coffin, seeing the future in a future Christmas. That would suck.
Or seeing your childhood.
Yeah. 24 yeah. cans would be waking up with all the solid gold dancers, you know.
Veal for Christmas.
Yeah, veal for Christmas might be.
I don't know. I think that that makeout session with the one was pretty nice too.
No, I'm saying 24 cans is the waking up with solid gold dancers. One can is probably the veal or waking up in a coffin, you know, I'm dying, you know.
Or living in a house where your parents smoke.
I did that. I don't know about you. I grew up in the 80s, I thought. I don't know. Everyone smoked. Everybody you knew.
This wasn't the 80s, like, for him. This was him as a child, so it was way before.
Oh, yeah, 60. 55, pardon me. But before we get to all that, we want to let you know, we want to do movies suggested by you, our listeners. And there's only a few ways that we can do this, and that's for you to join our Patreon. So when you join that, and if in there you suggest movies, we will get to them and we will do them for you because that's what we want to do. And there's another way. It's the Fast Pass. It's $25 to our Venmo or PayPal at Soda Pop Culture Club. Basically, you tell us what movie, give us money, we do it the next thing. That's pretty simple. We're like Burger King. You can have it your way rather quickly for $25.
Any way you want.
And I think that's how much a value meal now costs at these places.
It's getting
for the
there.
Price of a value meal, we'll do an hour podcast dedicated to your movie.
If you supersize it, it's getting there.
Yeah. I don't know. Should we offer a supersize option? No. And yeah, we should.
$75, we'll do the show naked.
With video?
From the waist down. How about that?
From the waist down. Of course, they don't see what the actual video is that we record, which is literally only our shoulders up. So
but I promise if we record it. I promise. Yeah, to do it.
Promise. I swear I'm naked down there.
Hey, if I make a promise about nudity, I keep that promise.
How do you know I'm not doing that already?
I always assumed you were.
All right, there we go. And I just want to say we technically have a third way, and it involves our website, sodapopcultureclub.com. That's a place where you can buy merch and all that stuff, see our schedule. But the one thing you can do is make movie suggestions. There's a little portal in there. You put it in there. You suggest it. If we like your suggestion, we might do it when we feel like it. So that's how that one works. That is not a guarantee. So if you put in there a movie that Anthony absolutely hates, we're doing it because I want to watch him squirm. But if I hate it, then it's not getting done.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
I'm sorry, guys. It's just how it is. A couple more things. Don't forget to share the show with your friends. Check out our Instagram at Mike and Anthony, where we post things that really makes Anthony excited. Gets him going. Gets his nipples hard. Yes. And what those things are just the memes associated with the movies that we do. That gets him excited. And I think it would excite you too. So go there. Check that out because I think it's pretty cool. And finally, we need you to go to Apple Podcasts and hit us up for a 5-star, any star review and a comment because it would be super duper awesome. And it helps the show out. And Anthony says one more thing about that.
Yep. Leave us a review. Leave a movie suggestion in the review and we will do that movie. Boom.
Wow, man. It's almost like you mean it. And we do. We said on the last thing, it better be at least a 3-star. Because you don't give us a 1-star review and say, do my movie, bitch. You know,
I got
that's
another.
How we roll.
I got another request. I think you guys leave us a review and in the comments tell Mike to stop talking for fucking 17 minutes before we even start the damn show.
No, that's not happening. They don't hear all that, so what do they care?
Or at least fast forward, everybody.
They don't fucking care. All right, so I think I know what's next. It's a trailer. Are you ready for the trailer?
They do hear it. I'm saying everything you just recorded up to this point. We are at the 17-minute mark already.
Oh, don't be a dumbass.
I'm just telling you. Boom, 17 minutes.
How about we focus on the trailer?
Yeah, I would be good with that. Let's do that.
I got into broadcasting because I like to give.
That's my cab.
Sometimes I found myself hurting from giving too much.
Fire these people.
But it's Christmas.
Bah humbug.
You are going to be visited by three ghosts. Expect the first one tomorrow at noon.
God, tomorrow's bad for me, Lou.
I'm the ghost.
I'm the ghost of Christmas present.
I had a funny feeling.
I can't get the antlers glued onto this little guy.
Have you tried staples?
Don't you dare.
So happy, but so poor.
She made me do for a raise.
Maybe?
Yeah, probably.
May I?
Oh, I'm having the weirdest day.
It's never too late. You can always change if you want to.
I've never liked a girl enough to give her 12 sharp knives.
For a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped we would be.
Did I forget something, big man?
God bless us, everyone.
Way to give away the ending there at the end of the trailer.
Trailers are meant to get you to watch it, not to whether you enjoy it. They just want you to spend the money to get in the theater, by the way. And that's not the ending.
You know what a trailer is supposed to do? It's supposed to make you scared not to watch it.
All right, whatever you say, man. Gosh, don't be such a dick about everything.
Did you learn anything from the movies?
I've learned one thing from all the movies that we have watched.
What's that?
Is that you don't know shit about movies.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
Ditto. That's all I can say.
Yeah,
I've learned that you think you know stuff about movies, but then when I get your ratings, I realize you do not.
Oh, thank you. You know nothing about my ratings.
You know nothing about how to just be entertained.
Whatever. I'm entertained. Trust me. Are you not entertained?
You need to, like, you can't just accept movies for what they are.
All right. Do you know what time it is, Anthony?
It's time to play the fucking game. I know.
It's time to play the game, and you know the game. The game is where we're going to read. Oh, I'm going to read you three reviews. Two of them are real. One of them is fake, and he has to guess which one is fake. And
you two can
play, and you two can play along. And if you guess the right one, well, just give yourself a pat on the back since I'm not there to do it for you.
Or a pat wherever you want.
Wherever you like. Whatever gets your juices flowing. You know what I'm saying? I'm down with that. Are you ready, Anthony?
I'm ready.
All right. Milton Baines of the Boston Globe. A solid effort to turn a dark movie into a comedy. Joe Brown, Washington Post. This is not a good movie. In fact, it's a sprawling mess. But I like it. Dan Liebarger, Nitrate Online. Forgettable holiday offering with Murray at his least inspired.
Oh, let's see. Read them again.
All right.
One more time.
Milton Baines, The Boston Globe. A solid effort to turn a dark movie into a comedy. Joe Brown, Washington Post. This is not a good movie. In fact, it's a sprawling mess, but I like it. Dan Liebarger, Nitrate Online. Forgettable holiday offering with Murray at his least inspired. So, his brain is turning. I can see him.
I'm going to guess the third one.
All right. And is there a reason why?
Well, tell me if I'm right or not.
You are not right.
Okay.
But why did you pick it?
Because if I was going to guess that that is your thoughts, because I know you're a Bill Murray fan, and compared to some of his other stuff, I would have picked this as one of your less favorite.
Oh, interesting. Well, if it wasn't hit that one, which was your second choice?
The first one.
And you would have been correct, because Milton Baines is Lorraine Baines' younger brother in Back to the Future.
Ah, damn it. And I thought that name sounded familiar.
Yes. Yes, I got him, guys. And I got him with something he should have fucking known, and he knows it.
Should have.
A movie that we probably both have seen, I don't know, a million times?
Ish.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen it, but it's more than... I've seen it at least once in the last month. I do know that.
All right, I was half wrong again.
All right, Anthony, hit us with the sweet digits.
There we go. Let's get some digits. Here's our breakdown by the numbers. Directed by Richard Donner and starring Bill Murray, Carol Kane, Karen Allen, Alfre Woodard, David Johansen, John Forsythe, and Bobcat Goldthwait. Scrooge was released on November 23rd, 1988, taking in $100.3 million at the box office against a $32 million budget. It scores 6.9 out of 10 on IMDb and 69% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's a tragedy. It should be a little higher on that, I think.
Think so?
Yeah. Right. But I want to give a fact, because it goes in line with the filming, you know, making of it. Filming began in December 1987 with Christmas approaching. Director Richard Donner asked if the production could have Christmas Day off, but Paramount Pictures executive refused, insisting that filming should continue on Christmas Day. However, Donner outwitted them. At the end of the day, on December 24th, 1987, he officially fired the entire cast and crew. 2 days later, on December 26th, he officially rehired everyone. The break allowed the cast and crew members to spend Christmas with their families.
That's epic.
That is.
That's epic. A move. Right.
That
there.
Is a move. And then I want to go one more fact here, since we're on the cast and all that. Bill Murray, you may have heard of him. He's in the movie. He turned down lead roles in a few other movies because he was making this film. Rain Man, Big, and Cocktail. Now, how would any of those movies have looked with Bill Murray? I don't know.
Well, first, we all make mistakes. That was one for Bill.
Well, I don't know. I mean, because... I would say out of those, the one you probably rewatch the most is Big. I would say probably most likely, because Rain Man's a little bit heavier, and Cocktail is, well, it's Cocktail. It's fun for a moment, but it's not Big, right? Big is an actual great film. So I would say that's the only regret.
What roles did he turn down for those movies is what I want to know. Like, for Cocktail, was he... Tom Cruise, or was he Doug?
Coughlin?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. I would assume he had to be Coughlin in that. There's no way he was going to be Tom Cruise.
I don't know, because he's turned down two Tom Cruise movies in this. So
I think Rayman, he had to turn down...
Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman's character. Or he could have been a brother. I mean, you could have been a brother, I mean, one way or the other, you know, and be ashamed of your brother. I mean, I could see that, whether you're older or younger, of your ashamed of your this handicapped brother. I mean, that's kind of what it was.
Mm-hmm. I'm ashamed of you. It's kind of the same.
I mean,
thing.
Big is obvious. He could play Big, you know.
Yeah,
but I think because he was in Scrooged, that's more timeless in the sense that it's a Christmas movie. Like, people will still be playing this Christmas movie 20 years from now, but there might be a lot of people who have long forgotten Cocktail and Big and Rain Man, but, you know, they're going to look at the Christmas lineup and they're going to see Scrooge, you know, and Home Alone there in the same list, probably, and be like, oh, I want to watch those movies. You know, that's how it is. So making a timeless cult classic Christmas movie is kind of worth a lot to me. I don't know. Although I will say another fact about this movie is that Richard Donner and Bill Murray did not get along.
Yeah.
Spoiler. But I think that's a thing with Bill Murray, though. I don't know.
Because Donner fired him?
Kind of, yes. But Richard Donner, though, I just want to say, this is not the first movie we've done by him. We did Maverick. And we did The Goonies. Mm-hmm. Richard Donner is a great 80s director, which is strange when you think about this movie. And then he also did the Lethal Weapon. another one that I want to do, The Toy. I mean, he did a lot of great 80s movies. I'm just saying.
All I know is, if I was in Scrooged.
Yes.
Every time he yells action, I'd have been like, on Donner.
Which, that's a fact. His name is a Christmas, is a reindeer. That is funny.
I'd have been doing that shit every time.
Every time. All right, man. So let's get into this. I want to give a six pack right away because it's one of the first things you hear.
I'm going to give one to you, but go ahead.
The soundtrack.
Yeah.
But I want to give a fact about it. I'm sorry. I got a lot of facts on this because it's the only thing I've been looking at. We haven't been watching a lot of movies to bone up. I've watched this one three times in the last couple of days.
Okay. I just watched it last night. So
I watched it this morning. But I want to say it wasn't until 2011 that Danny Elfman's score was released. The album, which is limited to just 3,000 copies, contained a total of 34 tracks, not all of which were included in the film. The final track is a bonus track that was created for Trading Places that's on that album. But that, just to let you know, that movie came out, 1988? And yep. The soundtrack didn't get released till 23 years later. So, or what is it? Yeah, 23 years later.
Some things you just got to wait.
And I'll say that it has the right sound and attitude for the movie. It really does that, you know, really had a great sound. That's why it's my six pack. I think it was great. What's your thoughts on that?
That's good.
You are so fucking like eloquent. I don't even know what to fucking say. It's like, man, a few words.
It's good. It's good.
Use a word like what Darnell would use in the program.
It's nice. About that.
Yes.
It's effervescently fluorescent.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts? Do you have any opening thoughts here on this?
Well, I have my six pack.
Oh, well then hit your six pack. Sound like you had a thing.
I'll give that first.
Yeah.
Anytime I see somebody drinking tab in a movie, boom, instant six pack.
I was going to mention that. If you noticed early on in the movie, he's making a drink with tab in it.
Yes.
And he's putting a good amount of tab in it. By the end,
it's a splash.
It's he's shaking and barely getting any in there.
This is what's funny about that too, because at the end of that, when he's doing that, I'm like, I turn to my wife, I'm like, that's how you make your mimosas, because she does. When she has mimosa, she just likes barely a splash of orange juice in it.
Oh my!
Like I usually am like a 50-50 ratio, or maybe less orange juice, but she literally, it's almost just enough to make it orangish color.
Why didn't she just zest it with orange rather than putting orange juice
in? I think that's going to be the next step. But she told me now too, which I didn't know. It's just kind of funny about that. Apparently they now are making like orange juice spritzers kind of thing. Like that you could just spritz your mimosa. Because apparently a lot of people are just like that. They just barely want a hint of orange in it.
Oh,
yeah, interesting.
That's awesome. No, I'm with you. When I saw the tab, it made me think of Back to the Future as well, you know, when he asked for the tab. So, yeah, it was definitely one of those things where it reminds you of a time when that was like one of the only sugar-free colas that you could get. It was it's definitely worthy of a six-pack.
I always think of that. I always think of Irreconcilable Differences.
Oh, yeah. With
Sharon Stone. No, Sharon Stone.
Oh, okay.
Well, it is Drew Barrymore. Damn it, this tab is warm. And she's yelling at her mom.
Yeah, gotta love it.
Oh, you gotta love it. Sharon Stone with armpit hair. Great movie.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Now that you say that, it's not Sliver, you know.
It's like she showed more hair there than she did in Fatal Attraction. Or not Fatal Attraction, Basic Instinct.
Basic Instinct, yes. At the beginning of this, I want to say some things I like. I like the opening where they have the advertisements. I love all the fake shows that they advertise at the beginning. They got The Night the Reindeer Died, Bob Goulet's Old Fashioned Cajun Christmas. I like that. And Father Loves Beaver. I mean,
if I know your father, he's out chasing beaver.
That's so, That's such low for hanging fruit, but it's awesome. Makes sense. It makes sense when we learn, when we meet him, the next thing we do is we meet him and he goes into that meeting with his board and they're watching these ads and then he's, then he watches the Scrooge ad and then he's like, that's your ad. And then we learn who he is by the ad that he made for Scrooged.
Yes.
Or Scrooge. Cause it was, I mean, when you watch it, it's totally disconnect. You like, you don't, you're like, what does it have to do with anything? And I understood Elliot's reaction at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
yeah.
I gotta tell you. So, we actually watched this with the kids.
Yes.
And which, you know, I don't know that we should have because the fact that this is PG-13, there's a lot of swear words dropped in this movie.
And partial nipple.
A partial nipple, a lot of goddams and a bitch and shit.
But
shit,
they don't say fuck once. And that's why it stays PG-13.
But still, again, 7-year-old watching this. But I got to tell you, so that one I think was pushing it, hindsight. My son, God bless him, the whole movie was feeling so bad for Bobcat.
Yeah.
All that, he's like, that poor guy, those guys are such jerks to him.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, that guy's the A word. So we're all like, what?
You know what, though? Because you just mentioned him, I'm going to tell you, that's one of my six pack is Elliot Loudermilk.
Yeah,
Bobcat played it well. And I don't think, while he used his way he speaks and his stuff, I don't think it was his typical typecasting for him. Like other movies, he's a different type of loser. He's not this guy.
Right.
Like, so I thought this was like, this is a good role for him. I really enjoyed that. You know, sometimes you forget that, you know, you're used to seeing him with the long hair and doing the comedy bit. It's nice to see him all buttoned up and kind of be just a nerd, really.
He's not buttoned up that long after he gets fired.
Well, I mean, once you're
throw after that.
I mean, we see the downward spiral of two characters, you know, him and Bill Murray. That's kind of, I think that's kind of how the movie goes. And as Bill Murray's going through, he keeps getting foiled being able to drink his bottles.
Yes. I know, it's unfortunate. I know. My son felt bad about that. He spent all that money and it got wasted. That's what he said about the.
He got wasted. I'm glad that he knows what alcohol abuse really is.
He didn't know what he was drinking. He just said, saw the bottle get dropped. No, I was going to say my other six pack, I'm going to be more specific with it, with Bobcat.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah.
Just the part where he's, you know, got the production team.
Yeah.
He's in the, when he tells them all to get up to dance.
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious. Like, basically, I got a shotgun. Get up and dance.
So I'm saying Bobcat had some moments, and that was good. That was good in this. Now back to the beginning. There's a few things I want to talk about. The movie, I understand why they had to do this, but when I first watched it, I've watched it three times. The first time I watched it of the three times, I thought, man, did they make Bill Murray too terrible? Like at the beginning, like he was like, so terrible.
Yeah.
Like unrealistically terrible to me.
Yeah.
I didn't know but I softened on it as I got to the third one. It's like, well, if they want to have a real redemptive arc, I guess they've got to make him the worst thing you could imagine.
So here's one of the issues I do have with the movie is that it is ridiculously terrible. Like it is too much. But the other problem I have is that arc happens way too quick when it happens.
Uh-huh.
You know?
It's not too quick, is it? Oh, it you mean like me. Because it really didn't change until...
When he finally turns, yes.
Yeah, he thought he was going to die.
That's about it. It was like, you know, you would have thought visiting himself as a child, Niagara Falls, that whole part.
Yes.
That should have been like
Niagara Falls, Frank.
The big ones there.
Yes.
Really, after that, it almost like then he digressed again. And just until the very end when he thought he was dead and getting death. Jesus.
I will say though that I think that's why they included the character of Claire. Because in the original Scrooge, there was no love interest. obviously.
And there barely is one here.
No, there is. And I think that's what makes it. That's where I don't think we get to see Frank connected to humanity until he gets scared and calls her. And then she comes in, uses a nickname nobody else knows. And we see he's a little softer with him. So I think we get a little more humanity from him there. And I think that's what that character is supposed to do. Because as we go through the movie, you see him seeing the memories with her and being sad that he's not with her. Cause you know, just like, you know, the waterworks, all that stuff. Then by the end, when we get to the end one, he sees her becoming more like him, which makes him upset and sorry
right.
that he wanted her to do that. So to me, I think they both follow the opposite arc in his, I don't know what those fantasies are. Basically what it is, because not really fantasy, some of them things really happen, so mm-hmm. So it's like the future fantasy, you know, like they see a different arc. That's what I say. I think that she's important that way. I thought they did have a good relationship there. I don't know, you didn't like it?
No, their relationship,
yeah.
I mean, I liked her that she got him Kama Sutra for a Christmas present.
Oh fuck yeah, right
there. You know, other than that, no. I just,
oh man,
I had trouble with, you know, when he finally sees her.
Like at the beginning or the end?
There's your chance to, you know, all these feelings are back, you know, but all of a sudden now, nope. Fire them. Fire them.
Well, I think that's why I said, is that a problem with her or a problem with him? I can't say that I'm mad at the character Claire because Bill Murray overacted the part. I mean, but I don't think he did. I think it was just, well, because we saw in their past that he had the ability to push her aside to get.
I'm just, get I guess, I think mainly the critique I'll give is it's not a well-written movie.
Okay. Well,
I'll say that.
There's a fact about that, but I didn't put it in here that they didn't like the script.
Yeah.
When they got it, and they tore it up and rewrote a lot of it, and they added the element of Claire. So there you go. But another part of this movie, another arc, I would say, is the secretary. And she kind of, you know, knows him the best and seems safe, even though she can do things that piss him off. But what I don't get is why she ever stayed with him in the first place.
She needed the job.
She knows how awful he is. And she doesn't seem to make good money. And my other thing is she has a lot of kids.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you make enough money to support that there? I mean, I can't even see it. I don't, because when she goes home, she looks like she's not in a nice place that someone who's an executive assistant might make actually decent
money.
Well,
I don't know if her living relatives are helping out at all.
But the president of a TV network, their executive assistant, is probably paid more than six figures. Well more. Probably, you know, for whatever it was in 1988, I'm sure. I don't know. It could be $90,000 a year in 1988 was a lot of money. And if she made, so I'm thinking she had to, because executive assistants aren't cheap. Because they usually do run a guy's life like that. That's why he can't work late unless she works late. You know, like,
yeah,
that's they're symbiotic usually. So that's why they have to be paid well to give up their life.
So maybe she's paid just enough to not quit.
Yeah, I guess, isn't that sad? Isn't that, you just described everyone that's listening to this podcast and everyone making it. I get paid just enough to not quit.
And just like Office Space, they'll make you work just hard enough to not get fired.
I got another thing before we get, because I want to go over the ghosts on the thing.
Sorry, one thing with her though, as far as why she's still in that. You crumple up my kid's artwork.
Oh, fuck.
Balls are going to be ripped off.
I want to say, you know why he has 11 fingers? And I'd rip one of his off because I took one of your 10. That's why, motherfucker.
There you go.
That's why that picture has 11 fingers, because I just took it off of your hand, motherfucker.
The night the reindeer died.
Oh, yeah. But before we get to the ghosts, because I want to go over them, there's a couple things I want to talk about. You know, they made a joke of programming for cats and dogs, but now there are actually channels programmed for cats and dogs. Fuck that.
Well,
truth is stranger than fiction.
Hey, and he called it. He went Simpsons on that, predicting the future, because he said in 20 years.
Yeah. He's right, but it's not popular like to the millions. Like I don't know how many people are actually watching it, but it's got to be enough that they keep it. So there's that.
You know, which the president, yeah. Who, funny enough, his name's Preston. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Had he really been thinking this through, he would have made shows of just cats and dogs, like YouTube videos. That would have gotten them somewhere.
Well, isn't there a cartoon called Dog and Cat or Cat Dog or something?
Cat Dog.
Yeah. So someone did that, but I wonder if cats and dogs actually watched that. I don't know.
Well, you had Ren and Stimpy too.
Yeah, but they were probably hard to follow as cats and dogs, you know? Like what they, I mean, they're not, they were,
I don't know,
more humanistic.
Ren looks like your dog.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just being weird.
Now, another thing, I have something I want to say. One character I found kind of pointless, and I feel things were unresolved with it, was the Bryce Cummings character.
Yeah.
The guy, like, yeah, he goes there and he directs that thing, but I never got the feeling that he was taking his job just because he was hired to do that thing. And at the end, nothing really ever happened of it, other than, I guess you could say there was a resolution where Elliot lied that he said bad shit about the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about it. But really, it seemed like it was there, but it really didn't need to be. I guess the only thing it did was free up Bill Murray to go run around.
Pretty much.
I mean, that's pretty much all it did. I don't think it really...
They didn't close that off very well. But I guess you could say he did, at the end...
Yeah.
He did get his penance, I guess.
Oh, he got that lady who kept getting ran over by shit. That's what
exactly.
He got.
And he's like she's forcing herself upon him. Say that.
Yeah, because, I'll say it now. At the end, when Bill Murray kisses the Saul Gold dancer.
The dancer is way hotter than the girl he ends up with. Yes, I remember.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's not about
Liked her much better as Small's mom in The Sandlot than I do in this movie.
Claire had an attractive soul. How about that? But my point was that got that girl hot enough to look over at a guy that was tied up and go, I'm going to take advantage of that.
Yep. You know, it's funny when that happened.
Dark as shit. This movie is dark.
So when that happened, it actually made me think like of all the zombie movies I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like once they actually turn and then they see meat and they go running after it. Like that's kind of how it was.
Yeah. Like, oh, wait, that's what I want now. Brains. Yeah.
Dick.
I get it. I want to get into the ghost here in a second, but the first ghost is Ghost of Christmas Past. But before he goes to them, he's at that lunch. And I was thinking to myself, all those little things were happening that was making him go crazy. Why is he trusting what he's seeing and reacting to it? Why wouldn't he be like, okay, I know shit. After I saw the eyeball and it's not there, I know crazy shit's happening. That dude's not really on fire. This is my brain. Why is he trusting what he sees? I wouldn't trust anything at that point.
He never saw any different. Every time he looked down, it was still the eyeball.
I thought he just saw it without the eyeball.
No, I don't think so. I think he looked down like three different times. It was still the eyeball to him.
And the guy was still on fire when he got
the
up.
Guy was still on fire.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. I thought he had. Like you look one moment, he looks one moment, it's not there. One moment, it's there. Like, don't trust yourself anymore.
I think more than anything, he should have thought to himself calmly, how much Stoli did I drink this morning?
And
should I trust these visions?
If everyone else is not reacting, why am I?
Well, also, though, remember what just happened to him the night before.
Well, yeah, the ghost.
So,
well, and he knew it was noon when all this shit started, so he should be thinking to himself, okay, weird shit happened last night. My office is still in one piece. This could be the same thing.
Right.
Now, I want to go to this. When he puts the water on the guy and then runs out and falls while he's running out the door, that was not scripted. He accidentally fell. And they kept it. So,
you know, it's funny about, because I was actually, when I was watching it, thinking about that. I was like, that's not like laugh out loud funny or anything, but it was funny.
Yeah.
But it looked scripted.
It wasn't. It was the reaction of the actor watching. They say you can tell by his reaction that it wasn't.
That's awesome.
So So yeah, now The Ghost of Christmas Past, I want to go into a fact about this because I think you'll like this. Sam Kinison was originally slated to play the part of The Ghost of Christmas Past. The part eventually went to David Johansen due to his friendship with Bill Murray. And David Johansen, you know him as? You don't know his stage name?
Huh?
Buster Poindexter?
Buster Poindexter, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, his real name is David Johansen.
When you said you know him as, I was like, what? And what? Are you talking about another movie?
His name is his alter ego.
Yes. Feeling hot, hot, hot. I got you.
Yeah, but I like him. I think he's good.
Oh, should have been Kinison, though.
Although he played parts like that, like in movies, like in Back to School, he played a menacing guy who argued, and I feel that that's all he would have been was in your face.
So what?
And yelling. Yeah, he was good at it. I mean, but
it would have been great.
He'd have just been yelling at Bill
Niagara
Murray.
Falls. Oh, oh!
I think the reason. Awesome. The reason he didn't is, one, because Bill Murray wanted David, I'm sure, which he's good.
Yeah.
Buster Point, excellent. And because they already had the Ghost of Christmas Present, who was an aggressive ghost. You know? Oh, this one had to be a smart ass that wasn't aggressive.
She's my favorite character in the whole fucking movie.
I would say that's...
Bobcat second.
I like that. Now, the Ghost of Christmas Past, you know, there are some homages to the Back to the Future. And one of them is that the car, they go back to they go back to 1955 in a car. Wow. Oh, man. I just think that that's pretty cool that they do that a lot. Make little homages in this movie. There's a few different ones if you're paying attention.
You know, it's kind of funny because to me, they found a flaw in Back to the Future because Doc Brown could have so much more easily made a time machine out of a cab because
you
got the fare meter that could have been your dates to go back to like it was in here.
Instead well, they had hindsight.
Instead of fucking with a DeLorean.
Yeah, they had hindsight to improve it. So you can't like, you know. But he said it might as well do it in style. That was why he did that. But I want to talk about Frank going back and going back and having such a strong emotional reaction. Like you said, Niagara Falls, Frankie Angel. I love that. A couple things I like in these scenes. I like the Xeroxing of the ass.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess that's been around since 1969. Didn't know that's how early it was that started, you know?
Really?
Oh, I don't know when Xeroxes started with.
When Xeroxes or Xeroxing your ass?
No, Xeroxing your ass and an actual Xerox machine. I didn't know. I assumed the day that thing arrived at the office, someone Xeroxed their ass.
Yes.
But I didn't think it was 1969. I thought maybe late 70s or something, you know.
When the first camera was invented, everything.
As soon as you can take a picture of a woman's ass,
yes.
it's done first. I'm sure. Edison or whoever invented I think it's Edison who invented the motion picture probably has a porn shot 2 minutes after figuring it out.
I guarantee you Edison invented the light bulb because he wanted to see tits in the dark.
That is so true that he says, man, we got to do this because I can't see this shit.
Seriously.
The candle burns out before I'm done,
man. I can double my time with these warlocks. Come on.
Yeah, I think that was a great Christmas gift that she was giving people, though. I just loved it. She's just handing out Merry Christmas. Hey, thanks.
This is so much better than a company ham.
Is that creating a hostile work environment these days? I don't know.
Yes.
And you said when they show the Christmas with him and Claire, the Kama Sutra.
Yep.
As a gift, that's very suggestive. That's pretty forward, isn't it? Like
that is just. To the ladies listening to this show, if you're ever stuck for an idea for a Christmas gift, you got somebody, you know, you don't know ever what to get them, that one's pretty much a guarantee.
But they're going to expect you to do it.
Well, yeah, duh.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, if you're not willing to follow through on what's in that book,
don't be an asshole and get the book, but cross out 95% of it, what you're not going to do before you
except
get it.
Except missionary.
Like, why is all these X's in the book?
Why is the Blooming Lotus not here or whatever's in there? I don't know what the names are. I've never read it, but I hear it's a good book. Have you ever looked through it? I've never looked.
I never have.
Maybe I should.
I mean, I feel like I have a good enough imagination that I don't need to.
Yeah, well, maybe you don't. You got it, because, you know.
I'm also like, I mean,
yeah,
I'm old enough to know better about stuff that, like, I'm not risking my hip for certain things. So yeah. I don't know if I want some of those ideas, because then I'd be like, am I going to end up in the emergency room for this? Anything like that.
Yeah. I want to get to the next thing is, I think in this past, we also see one of my favorite things, and that's him being in the Frisbee costume and doing that.
Yeah.
And we see how he's willing to forsake love to further his career. That's really what that scene was about. It's like, you had this, you see how good these things were before, and then look what you did in one moment to end all of that. And is that the last time he saw her?
I got to say something, though, with that.
What? Yeah?
I blame her, too.
A little bit, yeah. Because she went 0 to 100. Like,
the damn president of the network wants to take you to dinner. I think she should know better, that that's kind of a big deal.
Yes, my friends are important. But my friends, if they understand our career and understand how this could help us, they would want me to do this, and right?
We've been planning dinner with them for a month. He's been planning this moment for his whole fucking life.
Yeah, yeah. So I do blame her. And what I really blame her for is the moment that he decides that, well, that's what I got to do. Yeah, he was a little bit of a dick. But the moment that he decides to do that, she's like, okay, we're ended. I'm done. We got to take a break.
Yeah, we were on a break.
Let's slow down here. How about we, you know.
You know, that goes back to what I said. This is not a good script.
That doesn't matter if you don't think it's a good script. I still think it got across the point that we needed.
It did, but not well.
All right.
To me. Because again, you shouldn't, like, in theory, watching, you shouldn't have blamed her, but you do. I do.
Yeah. I blame her a little.
I think the way he went about it was shitty at that point. You know, obviously, that was just, again, that was overacting. It was not against Bill Murray as an actor, but that was just like the way it was supposed to be done. It was just not good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it had to be a little over the top by him, which pushed her away a little bit and made her make that decision. You can blame her a little bit, but I think it got the point of, hey, this guy didn't, if he's not with her now, that means he didn't care afterwards to try and repair anything either. So that, I think we kind of get that point.
Well, you know, with that, we don't know how fast stuff happened after that.
Yeah, like, we don't got
anything to show. Okay, did you immediately go from being a dog to vice president of the network or what?
Yeah, we don't know what happened over the years. But I assume, because that ended up being his best friend that invited him, that came to him and told him he's going to be visited by three ghosts, that he must have been pretty important to him and helped his career a lot.
So, yeah.
So that I can assume. Now, once he's done with all this, the first thing he does is he goes and visits Claire again at her what's it called? The outreach. The
shelter?
No. Yeah. Something reach, outreach. But he goes there, and he gets surrounded by those homeless people. And they ask him to do Richard Burton. They think he's Richard Burton. And I guess, because I was reading on this, the whole Richard Burton gag was an homage to a Murray skit on SNL. I guess he used to act out.
Yeah.
Richard Burton skits on SNL.
That's awesome. So, and I love that we've got, what's her name in that group there? The Fratelli.
Yeah. Ma Fratelli. Yeah. Well, you know, Donner, and I don't have it on here. Once again, I've read a bunch of facts. Okay. There are a lot of people in this movie that were in his other movies, especially the Lethal Weapons.
Yeah.
And all that. Like he reused people a lot.
He is Kevin Smith.
He did reuse a lot of people. Now, one of my favorite things is that when he's at, he wants her to go with him to talk and go get dinner, you know, and she'll go, but she has to do this thing. And he's like, no, whatever. And he gets mad at those people and he says, you should fire them. One of my six pack is what he says. Because I love this line. They are like this every day of the year, I guarantee it. I love that line for some reason. It just hits right, man. It's like these people are shitty. It's pretty much saying these people are this needy every day.
See, fuck them. You know, okay. And this is why I think you do like this movie.
Why?
Because you relate to Bill Murray and that ghost. That's who you identify with, because that's who you want to be.
Oh, like, I want to be that guy. Listen,
that guy, Bill Murray, considered a legend before he died. So what did he do? He made a shit ton of money. He bought hot women and he died on the golf course. Is that not your fucking life dream come true?
Wouldn't we all want that life? I mean, don't be like acting like you wouldn't want
you
that.
You seriously, like, you'd be like, piss on giving back. Or
I give back. What are you talking about? I think we're all philanthropists on the inside waiting to get out.
I disagree.
All right. I want to get to our next ghost. That's the ghost of Christmas Present. And you know what? I'm going to back it up with another six pack, because that is my six pack.
Might as well. It's only your eighth so far.
Yeah, the ghost of Christmas Present, the Ball Breaker Suite, you know? Love that. Love that. I think that she does that part very well. Like you said, that was your favorite character, right?
Yes, she is.
Did you know that they made an agreement that she would be rough with Bill Murray? And Bill Murray, when she grabbed his lip, you know, when you see him grab his lip and pull on it, he was actually injured and it halted shooting for at least a week. Because the little thing that holds your bottom of your lip, that little piece of skin, that little thing in there, got ripped.
Ow.
So, yeah, I thought that was fun and that she was that violent and that physical with him. I think that was great. That's why I don't think Sam Kinison could have been the other person, because she was the one who was physical and violent. And he's too overly a threat. Like, I think you needed a smarmy. The smarmy cabbie was good.
Sam Kinison could have done that.
Okay. Well, we'll never know.
We won't.
We'll never know. That's sad. That's sad, man.
It is.
That's sad. Now, this, but the Ghost of Christmas Present really did show him how detached he was from those around him. Like we really got to see. And I think that's kind of how Scrooge is, or the Christmas Carol, you know?
Yeah.
You kind of see how he's not in touch with the reality of the people around him.
He's
and this really did illustrate it well, how we saw his Grace, the secretary. We saw her at home with her kids and drying off with her bonus. That's just awful, man. That's just, and you know, he sees all that and sees the family. At this point, do you think he's wanting that? Like, do you think he wants the family? Because then he watches his own family.
I don't know if he does at this point, because like I said, his arc happened in about 10 seconds.
Yeah. I don't know. I think when he's at the when he's at his family and he sees the SS Minnow and they're talking about him and stuff, I feel that got to him a little bit.
I got to get my six pack there too. My other six pack. My final one, because I give three like I'm supposed to.
Okay.
The Gift.
The VCR?
State of the art.
Yeah.
VCR. Awesome.
Which he wasn't supposed to get.
Exactly.
And he's going to, his ex-secretary.
There you go. You show me a movie, like, I give it props for that. Somebody drinking Tab and somebody getting a state of the art VCR for a gift.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
I'll tell you one of my, well, you know, it's funny you say that. One of my favorite things. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say also the other thing I do love, his brother.
Yeah.
Who was in another movie I'm very fond of.
One Crazy Summer?
No. Moving Violations.
Oh, okay.
He's the main guy in that.
Okay, I thought you meant his real brother, because two of his real brothers are in that scene.
No, his brother in the movie.
Yeah. And the one brother who's not the brother in the movie, but his brother, is in One Crazy Summer. So, there you go.
Yeah, no, I meant his brother in the movie. He's in Moving Violations.
Okay. When you say brother, there's two of his real brothers in that room.
Movie brother.
No, he's yeah, movie brother.
Moving Violations. I love that movie.
Yeah, excellent. That's, you know.
Jennifer Tilly as a rocket scientist working for NASA. Come on.
That's like what's her name in that Bond movie where who was the one girl who played a physicist and everybody made fun of it and The World Is Not Enough.
I don't watch Bond movies, you know that.
Yeah. And I do, but I can't remember her name. But she was like, you know, a model that they tried to make into a Bond girl as a scientist. It didn't work. Let's just put it that way. but it showed how to, I just want to say it showed how detached she was from reality. Now, what I do like is I love the ghost. I love her giving Bill Murray raspberries. So I wanted to say to you that
I think
you should be ready for spontaneous raspberries.
No.
Why? Why don't you want that? Answer.
Why would I want that?
Because it's fun. You saw how fun Bobcat had. Much fun,
what
Bobcat.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I just want to have some fun, man. What's your deal?
I'll tell you what. Hold up. You know what? You give me 4 days notice to prep for that so I can not shower, then you can give me raspberries.
Yeah. I think I've given Preston raspberries.
I will not shower, nor will I wipe my ass for 4 days. Then you can give me raspberries.
Like I'm not gonna motorboat your ass.
That's okay. I'm just saying it'll still be close enough. You'll be good. You'll learn your lesson there not to do that again.
Now I've got
the last raspberry you ever give.
Just be ready. You don't know. I might come up behind you and tackle you and then raspberry you. You're just gonna have to be ready.
That's like I could have you arrested for that.
Maybe, but you won't.
He tackled me, forced me down, and put his lips on me.
He blew up on my belly, and then he blew really hard and made fart noises.
4 inches away from my dick, officer. 4 inches away.
And it didn't get hard, I promise. Maybe.
Oh, it crawled back in. It hasn't come back out.
Now,
it's been 3 weeks, man.
Now I want to talk about the last part of this because it's going to go into another point I want to make. The bitch hit me with the toaster. Love that. But when after he gets hit with the toaster, he's where Herman's at, and Herman died. And I think at this point in this movie, I recognized that this movie came out first, but there were many parallels to Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Because this Herman was like the old man in Groundhog Day that he couldn't save. Like why did this have to happen? Like we're getting that. While they're not, well, they're different in that way, but they still have an arc like that. Like, you know. So to me, it was like, did they make Groundhog Day to try and capture this again or
to fix it?
Yeah, Groundhog Day is a good movie.
Groundhog Day fixes this.
Groundhog Day is a great movie. Right. I don't know. We've never done that, have we? I don't remember doing it.
We did.
We did, but it wasn't for the podcast. It was way a long time
ago. Yeah.
And it was when we were testing out the format.
Right.
But no, so I thought it was the same story arc in some ways of how a guy has to become better.
But we
at the end, that's pretty much
better love interest in Groundhog Day.
Andy McDowell's cute. I like Linda Evans. Is that her name? Claire. She's cute. She's got freckles. I have freckles. How can I not like that?
There you go.
I mean, come on, man.
Well, you can give her you can give her some raspberries.
I will give her raspberries. Now, I want to get to the last ghost. And that's the ghost of Christmas Future. This one obviously does not have the personality that the other two had. It's literally just a suit.
Just the Reaper.
Yeah. So there's not much. The one thing I did love, before Elliot interrupted, I liked the hand coming out and about to grab him. I think that's a good effect.
Out of the TV.
Yeah, I really like that. Very The Ring, very much like The Ring or whatever it is. Yeah, I like that. I did like him.
Freddy Krueger belly full of children when you took off the shirt.
Is that where's that at? When did Freddy Krueger have a belly full of children?
Nightmare 4.
Oh, so say I didn't watch that one. Okay, so that's your favorite too. So maybe there's some parallels there. So yeah. Oh, how about you? Now, I was kind of sad, though, that Calvin, Grace's child who wouldn't speak, was in a padded cell.
Yes.
Because why would he be in a padded cell? Because he doesn't talk.
Well, we don't know what happened to him since then.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Dressed even more.
What the fuck could he have done?
I don't know. Maybe he dropped a state-of-the-art VCR on somebody's head.
It killed somebody? Yeah, I guess that's, you know, I guess that.
Maybe he
that
pulled somebody's there. Lip and ripped skin that connects it.
Oh, doesn't he, can't you just feel the pain just thinking about that?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Oh,
it's pretty
man.
Bad. It's like, pretty bad.
I think I just found something that I would prefer paper cuts over.
That or a ripped scrotum.
I think I could deal with that.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know.
All right.
I'm serious. Like, you tell me.
Then like, your lip won't hold up right.
Bottom lip being pulled and having that connective tissue ripped. Scrotum getting ripped.
Ooh.
Or paper cuts in the webbing of your fingers.
Ooh. All of them.
That's some fucking Chinese torture right there.
All of them are bad. No good options. You know, though, you know what's really annoying? If you had like a little paper cut on your nose nostril, like right on the edge.
Oh, dude, don't even go. Not on the edge. I had like, this was like about a month or so ago-ish. I had like a cut inside my, and you know me, my allergies are horrible. I blow my nose constantly. I've always got a runny nose. It fucking sucks. So I had this cut inside my nose.
Oh.
It stung. And fucking hurt so bad.
Sad.
Son horrible. Of a bitch did not heal forever because then I'm constantly blowing my nose all day. And I like, even when I was taking my shit, anytime I blew my nose, I'm like, it's just like starts all, it's like, fucking.
You can't put Neosporin up there.
No, you can't.
Yeah, man, there's some rough things out there that just suck. That is one of them. A rough thing for me, though, in this movie was when the Ghost of Christmas Future showed Claire hating on the kids. That was rough. You know, after seeing how good of a person she is, she made him a better person by how good she was. And like I said earlier, the nice touch to that was when he apologized to her because he knows that was a good person and he ruined her by giving her that advice.
See, was Claire a good person or just stupid?
Well, maybe both, but she could be a stupid and good person.
Because
have good intentions always type of person.
What is it that still makes her give Bill Murray the time of day?
She knows who the real Bill Murray, she knows who the real Frank is.
She remembers the early dork Frank.
Yes. And so she knows what other people don't know. And I think by the end of the movie, he comes back to the thing that she knows more. And that's his redemption. That's his thing. But here's the thing. I have a generic here. I don't know when your generic is, but mine is right here. It's with the Ghost of Christmas Future. I don't understand why it is so scary that he sees himself being cremated. Now, it is scary that when they put him in the coffin and he's alive and being burned. Okay, I get that.
Yeah.
But everyone dies eventually. You shouldn't be scared that your future shows that you're going to die. Because guess what?
You're gonna.
So I don't understand how that scares you into being a better person. I don't get that one. Because to me, that's inevitable. You know that's happening.
This is...
You got to show me something that makes me fail while I'm alive.
And he hasn't there hasn't been enough... I mean, they've shown the things, but there hasn't been enough from him up to this point that he's made it known that he wants to fix all these things. So I understand the angle of it that I don't want to die because I want to fix all this shit.
Yeah.
But we never got that at this point. It was more just like, I don't want to die. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give that to me. You're right. That was a quick arc. It definitely was. I thought it was a little fast for that, but when I think, well, maybe he internalized things that we don't see. Because I did see a little crack in his armor with Claire and how he felt about her. You know, I saw some things, so I can't be... I got to think, well, maybe there was something there that I didn't see, you know. But little pieces came out, and I just have to assume it broke a dam, maybe.
I would have to assume that there should be a director's cut somewhere that gives us some of that shit.
Well, there is another fact I know about, is that there is a shit ton of things that they filmed, a shit ton, and this is not all of it. and they had to have someone cut it to make what it is. So there was a lot of things maybe that we would have gotten more context for other things.
So we don't blame the script as much as the dipshit that cut this movie.
Could be the cut. But maybe this is all the good cuts, and if they did, and if they'd have added another 15 minutes to the movie to put more context in some scenes, would it have been better? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because a Christmas movie, I think you can get away with it being a little longer, too. Because it's a season thing, and it's a celebration. So people aren't going to be like, man, I got to... No, they're usually at home with their kids.
I mean, how many
time?
How many people have Christmas Story on 24 hours a day on Christmas?
Yeah.
I think
that
they,
means you
could
play this one.
You know, exactly.
Yeah. I have some thoughts on all this. I like what he does with Elliot, where he says, I was a schmuck, and now I'm not a schmuck. I was a schmuck, and now I'm not a schmuck. The Jewish taught me a word. Oh, man. I do have a thing. I didn't make it a generic because you get all pissy when I do this.
Okay.
But they made one small gay panic joke in the whole movie when Elliot tells, when he's saying that Bryce really likes, you know, Preston, the executive.
Yeah.
Like he says, there's a small gay panic joke. Like this 80s movie couldn't get through it without one little joke. Like, it was like, why? Why it didn't happen?
I think they had more than that with the man-on-man raspberries.
I didn't think that was gay panic. I thought, I told you that's what I want to do to you. How is that gay panic?
I know you do. That's not gay panic.
You're
that's
the one
just
with the, no,
actually
you're gay panicking. I am just trying to be a friend and a dude wanting to give his buddy a raspberry.
You know what? That's not me gay panicking. It's not that I wouldn't let a guy do that. Just not you.
Well, what guy do you want to do it? I'll find them.
I've given you my list. Come on.
No, I'm not going to go.
You know my
Rob
man
Thomas.
Crushes.
Rob Thomas.
Ryan
is
Reynolds.
Gonna...
Come on.
What if I sang you a Rob playing? Thomas song? Would that
no!
give me a...
Don't you dare do that.
He's in my range. I can do it in 2 seconds.
I'll give my generic if you want.
Go ahead. Give your generic.
Now, in this movie, does Bill Murray once smoke a cigar?
No, but it's in the fucking poster. Okay.
But why is it on the cover art? Because the cover art to this movie is one of the most recognizable ones ever.
Actually, the only person is the cabbie.
Exactly. He never smokes a cigar in the movie, and yet that's what they're going to put on the box. That drives me fucking nuts.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, why don't they have the Ghost of Christmas Future hand pouring a tab into a glass form instead?
Yeah.
Something he did in the movie.
Well, he's lighting a cigar.
Right.
You know.
Have him pouring a tab.
Yeah. Yeah. That you're right. You're right. That is, you know, no cigar. Yeah. The little things get you. I do want to talk about the ending of this movie.
Little things, but when it's a big thing, the fucking cover art for the movie.
I get it. It's like that truck on the cover of the Varsity Blues DVD. Is not, you know, it was not in the movie. That truck was not. There are movies that do
truck.
That. There are movies that do that. Now, the ending of this movie is pretty good to me, and I know you don't like this, but I like how the through line of Claire pays off on the end, like how that love story does pay off. I like how Murray seems to be at the end of this movie on the top of what he does. Like, he's really good. He's being peak Bill Murray at the end of this movie. His desperate pleas feel genuine to me. But you know, it's funny. And I say this, I think he's so it feels so genuine that it actually even makes me feel slightly uncomfortable watching. I don't know if that makes sense to
you. Yeah. No,
like it feels so genuine that I see a guy who I feel is genuinely unhinged into this territory that he's like feeling these things, but I'm not there with him. So I'm kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Do you feel that?
I get it. I get your shit.
Okay. Okay. And it feels almost, it's like it's almost preachy, right?
He acted like, it a little too well.
Yeah, yeah, like it went into the realm of, oh, fuck, man.
I will say when the little boy talks finally, yes, that's a feels moment for sure.
Oh, see?
No, you're going to say no to that?
The kid saying, I have a note. The kid saying, God bless everyone, actually annoyed me. Why couldn't they have picked something else? Like.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the kid hasn't talked since
his dad
died.
What?
Because the kid that hasn't spoken a word since his dad died?
Yeah, but you remember, you're talking to a guy who doesn't believe in that bullshit. So why can't it be something like Merry Christmas?
Doesn't believe in what bullshit?
God bless everyone. Yeah.
Well, that's part of Scrooge, you idiot of Scrooge.
I know it is. That's why I was like, I can't get around it, but it's just like, you know. I mean, you had a love story. Why couldn't you change the last line? That's all I'm saying.
You didn't have a love story. You got a guy that missed the Kama Sutra. That's it.
Do you think at their advanced age now that they could go back and pick up where they left off?
He made out with that hot solid gold dancer at the end of the show there.
Yeah.
He could have got her. But you know what he realized? You probably won't do half the stuff that she does.
That's right.
She gave me a book on it.
You get a 10, they won't do anything with you. But you get a 6, they'll be all over it.
Wow.
They're so willing to please you. No, I was like, at their advanced age, though, I don't think they can do all the shit in that book now. I don't know. They'd have to do some yoga or some shit.
Yeah, I would doubt it. I'm sure I couldn't do that stuff.
Now, there's a couple things at the end of this movie that you didn't know. Well, you may have known that at the end of the movie included him saying, "Feed me, Seymour, feed me." Yeah. That was an homage, obviously, to Little Shop of Horrors, which he had a very bit part in. Which, if you didn't know, at the time after Ghostbusters 2, Bill Murray was on a self-imposed 4-year hiatus from making movies. And this was what got him back, you know, 84 to 88, right?
Yeah.
So, but he did that one part in Little Shop of Horrors, and that was it. He was even contemplating moving to Paris and never acting again, by the way. Just thought I'd let you know. And then at the end, when he does the audience participation thing, unscripted, that's totally ad-libbed by Bill Murray. So there you go.
Nice.
But what I like, yeah, that.
Now that was actually the cool thing about that was because I had never seen this movie in the theaters.
Yeah.
But then so we got to watch it in our theater in the house. So that was actually cool. That
my only problem with it is that when he says people to the left, it doesn't line up with when the phrase starts. Like, I wish they would have lined it up better with when the phrase starts. Like, you know, nothing right after he says, "Hey, everybody to the left, pull up it," you know, that would be better, you know, rather than halfway. Like, it's like, oh, okay. Like, you start halfway into the phrase. That doesn't make sense. Anyways, I want to give another fact in this movie. One last fact. I know I had many. Because I told you, if I get to research one movie, I know things. My brain's there. There are many references to Free Africa throughout the movie, including a poster on the wall in Grace's house, as well as a sticker in the production room. This was a subliminal political humanitarian reference to apartheid controversy, which was taking place in South Africa at the time the movie was being shot. And oddly, Richard Donner, who was did Lethal Weapon, that was a central plot point in Lethal Weapon. So there you go. So
you dumb son of a bitch. That was part 2, but
yeah, it was part 2. But my point is that it's obviously something that means something to him that was there. So, so yeah, that was it. That's the movie.
That's it.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
We'll talk about that.
All right. Do you want to go first or me? We're going to give the ratings here.
I'll go first.
Oh, no, wait a second. We have one thing.
Duh. Jeez.
We're not going to give our ratings. Anthony has a favorite thing, and it's his job to remember.
I remember.
Okay, memorabilia time, bitch.
What piece of memorabilia do you want?
I mean, I think we both want the same one.
The solid gold dancer?
Well, that doesn't age well, you know. Although, another fact, this is the last time the solid gold dancers performed in a thing. Because they had been canceled the July before.
That's a shame.
Just to let you know, that's their last performance. But no, for me, I think what I will take is, I really want the Kama Sutra. But I think I could make that dream happen on my own.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah?
If I was going to get a copy of Kama Sutra, I want a new copy off the shelf. I don't want one that's ever been in anybody else's possession for anything. So that is not piece of memorabilia I would want.
I would want the watch that Herman was holding when he was dead.
Yeah.
Because it's much like Bryce's, wasn't it? It was very similar to the guy named Bryce. I would want the watch. Because I think that'd be cool. That or the IBC shower curtain that we never saw?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I would want the state-of-the-art VCR.
You can get one of those now.
No. The one, which I don't know if it was actually just a box, but that box, that VCR that came in it, to be able to watch the VHS of Scrooged at Christmas on that VCR would be pretty fucking epic.
You know, it's funny, earlier when you mentioned how that's an automatic six-pack for you, the first thing that came to my mind is, you remember in the original Fast and Furious, the first one, when they steal the stuff from that truck, it was the old-style TV VCR combos and shit. Like, it was old shit. So when you see a movie that has that, it's like crazy. It's crazy. And especially in a franchise like that has now gotten so modern.
Yeah. If there was a VCR in that box, that's what I would want.
Yeah, of course. Who wouldn't? Forehead VCR with tracking.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That gets wet.
With super long play capability. Jeez, man. I'm there. Okay. So now we picked our memorabilia. It's time to rate this. Do you want to go first or me?
I'll go first.
Do that thing.
All right. So, like I said, it's not my favorite Christmas movie. I like it. I watch it all the time because my wife loves it. And she'll probably, if she listens to this episode, will come at me for this. She'll probably hate me. But I got to do what I got to do. I got to be true to myself. So, like, I do like the movie. Like, it is one of those, it's an entertaining movie. But there's so much wrong with it. And I said earlier, again, I'm sorry, but the fact that it's PG-13 and there's so much swearing in it, as a dad that just let my kid watch it, that bugs me a little bit. But no, seriously, like, there are problems that annoy me, but there's so much fun stuff in it. But the other thing we never did mention, I'm sorry, Bill Murray, by the time he gave that fucking speech at the end, how hammered did he have to be? Because we saw him down a lot of alcohol. Every time he had a drink, the whole thing was gone. Just saying. Anyway, so I feel like the fair score I could give this is, like, I do like it. I'd say it's just above average. I give it a 13. But I do like it to watch, but there's just a lot wrong with it that bothers me.
Interesting. That is very interesting. Now, I think we're going to be in different places here.
I figured that.
Now, I want to say this, that I'm going to grade this movie not as a regular film, but as a Christmas movie. I figured that I can't, because there are some movies that I would be really enthusiastic to watch at Christmas time. But if you said, hey, Mike, let's watch Scrooged in July, I'd be like, fuck yourself. You know, I'm not watching that.
Well, and that was part of my problem, too, because, like, if I'm comparing these to the Christmas movies I like to watch it during Christmas, this, you know, it's,
yeah,
it's
I'm going to compare it to the Christmas movies I like to watch. And this is a good movie. Hard? What?
You comparing this to Die Hard?
Yeah, why not? Because, like I said, I won't watch it any time of year. So it has to, it's holiday specific, so it's kind of where I'm at. But this is everything that I want in it. It's got a very dark streak about it. I like that. I like the redemptive arc of the main character. I enjoy that. It has a love story, even though Anthony doesn't appreciate it. It's just a great comedy with excellent supporting characters. So as a Christmas movie, I'm going to give this 20 cans.
Wow.
This is now in my stable. I used to never watch it because didn't think about it. I watched it this year, and now it's going to be one I watch every year.
Oh, I mean, I've watched it plenty of times. Like I said, I like it, but as a Christmas movie, then I have the Christmas movies in my head that I like to watch every year. This is like...
How many Christmas movies do you voluntarily watch every year?
Plenty.
Okay, I do not. I watch Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
I watch A Christmas Story. And now I watch Scrooged.
I watch A Christmas Story. I watch It's a Wonderful Life. I watch Just Friends. I watch Serendipity. I watch Scrooged.
And yeah, all the ones we've
Hallmark
done
with my wife. Just to keep
that we did. I don't watch Home Alone every year. I don't.
Well,
I
we
don't.
Do now because it's like, you know, because we do family movie nights. So Christmas time, we're doing those types of movies. So
yeah,
with the kids.
I see. So where's this at? Give us, what's our, you had, what'd you give it, a 14 or 15?
13.
13?
So it's 16 and a half.
And what's near it?
The one we just did, The Program, is 16.
There you go. I think this is a better movie than Program.
I don't.
Even objectively, I think it is a better movie.
Let me see. Have we done any other? Let me see if there's any other Christmas movies I can compare it to on here real quick. Well, Home Alone, 19.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It is.
But we both gave that pretty high scores, didn't we?
Yeah. You gave it 18. I gave it 20.
Yeah, I like this better than Home Alone.
So, Christmas Story, 23.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Let's see. So those are some of the Christmas ones. Trading Places, if you count that as a Christmas movie, 17.625.
This is a little bit better movie than that.
Well, according to your score, yeah, because you gave Trading Places 18.25.
Yeah.
And let's see. Any other ones here? Christmas.
Just Friends?
Nope, it's there. 18, Just Friends.
Yeah. So, but I think this is, to me, an excellent Christmas movie that I could watch every year. It's a little more adult themed, you know?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Like I said, it's good. I mean, I have no problem watching it. Like I said, it's just, I mean, if when I'm doing it for this, I have to, you know, look at it as far as.
I think we should put an asterisk next to all of our Christmas movies just to say, well.
It's a subcategory.
Yeah, because it's more of a subcategory. Because really, because if you tell me to watch, a Christmas Story in June.
If
it's
we
not
do that, then I'm putting all your fucking Fast and Furious movies in its own category.
No. Go.
Then you have to separate out all the Halloween movies.
Go fly a kite. Go fly a kite.
Fuck a turtle.
So, whatever. All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
We would like to thank you for listening. We also want to remind you to join our Patreon, so you can get some of that bonus content and maybe make some movie suggestions. Remember, you can go to sodapopcultureclub.com for all things related to the show, including your chance to make those movie suggestions there as well, and our episode schedules there. We are also on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and we have a Twitch channel. That's right. You keep
you
seeing.
Always do that.
I have a script.
Take
I have
it
a
off.
Script. And it's to have him give a hint for the next movie. But the thing is, he doesn't even fucking know what it is. He
we
doesn't
don't do that anymore. I do know what the next one is, stupid.
Oh, well, do you want to tell them what it is since we're not giving hints anymore?
No, it has a fucking former president in it. How about that?
And a bunch of fucking pigeons.
Fucking horrible family.
You know, oh, but I got to say this one thing because I forgot. When he was from Scrooge, when he gets hit by the toaster and he first appears in like the underground, what does he say the first thing?
You said that. Bitch hit me with the toaster.
No. When he gets, then he says, what is this, Trump Tower?
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what that was, but it was interesting. That's all I'm going to say. Anyways, are we done here?
We're done. Thank you guys for listening. Appreciate it. Go check out the website, buy some swag, and leave some comments.